Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so privileged, Lord, to be with you today and to have such a group of people with us, Lord. We just love you and just ask you, Lord, to watch over us and protect us as we study your word. Help us to keep focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's so good to see so many people. It's kind of the way it used to be. So, anyway, it seems like the harder and harder you preach holiness, the less and less people you get. But we got a good group of people here today. So this morning I'd like to continue our study of the word seed of God, showing how his word was a seed while it was in him before the foundation of the world. But in this last days, and let me just do this before I get the hand up. So, okay. And just waiting. Okay. Before the foundation of the world, but in this last days, he is totally harvesting all his word seed to be manifested in this hour. Now, from his sermon, The Masterpiece, he said, notice it started out as the original, as Jesus said, the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. And he, the Son of Man, was the sower. Now, listen, if Jesus was the Son of Man sowing, and Brother Branham was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man, then his ministry was to sow seeds. All right? So, you know, people try to make Brother Branham that he sowed the manifestation of the word. Well, his ministry began the manifestation of the seed sown, but he also sowed many, many seeds. And so I want you to understand the difference, because the parousia of Christ basically started all everything. Remember, he is life, right? And so when he is life, then that life has come in this hour, and every seed that was he had placed in the earth in Genesis 1, all those seeds are coming to manifestation under that life. It's just like he is the Son, right? And he is the S-O-N, but he is also the S-U-N. In other words, if the S-U-N brings seeds up out of the ground, makes them, you know, gives them life, then the Son also is doing the same thing in this hour. So the parousia is the consummation of the entire word seed of God. Okay? Now, again, I said from Masterpiece, he said, and it started out as the original, as Jesus said, the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. And he, the Son of Man, was the sower. Okay, the seed was the word. That's Mark in chapter 4. All right? And notice, any seed that abides alone never does nothing. It's got to fall into the ground to bring forth its production again. So he's really laying the ground for the right kind of ground. Because he says, you know, it has to fall into the ground, but then he comes on to say it has to be the right kind of ground, okay? Now, and this seed, that perfect church, fell to the ground at Nicaea, Rome, when she became a denomination. Now, historians, now remember, and you who's going to hear this tape, check it up and find out if that's right or not. The church died, listen to this, the church died at Nicaea, Rome, when she took dogmas and creeds instead of the word of God. Now, how many remember Nicaea is where they made the Nicene Creed and they said there's a Trinity. That's when they made up a Trinity. Well, actually, the Catholics, you know, the pagans actually, were looking to the Babylonian triad of Anu, Ea, and Enlil, and so they made Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, and also made Mother Mary worship, okay, instead of Osiris. Now, what is it? God had showed by that first church that he was God. In other words, the Alpha, he was God. But then they begin to slip, okay? He had a church perfected, but the church, like all other seeds, must fall into the ground and die. Now it fell into the ground and died and wasted away. In other words, anytime you mix that seed with something else, it hybrids it right there, and it can never reproduce itself again anymore. It's dead. And the minute you organize the word, it dies right there. I remember in the Philippines, when I was there in 2001, a certain minister who thinks he's a big shot, because you know, he did teach at a university over there. He taught computer graphics. And He started a thing where they got 100 different churches to sign up. It was an organization so that they could have government protection. Well, the second you do that, you die. because now you've submitted yourself to an organization. All right. Now, they did that in Gabon as well. I remember they invited me over, and I said, well, they got to have a certain minister from a big church that was approved by the government. He had to approve it. And I said, forget it. I'm not coming. So anyway, now, then years later, they let me come. So I decided to come. But, it was, they had repented of that. But, it's the thing is, you got these big churches around the message that are no different than a denomination. They have 500-600 people. They sing songs. They come and they stand in the aisles. They dance and everything else. They're no more than a denomination. They don't preach the word. They preach focus on the family. They preach things that are not offensive. Well, you know what the Bible says? The word of God is offensive, and I'm happy to be offensive. I'm sorry if I make any of you feel upset about that, but I'm happy to stay with the word and not with the offensive gospel that's being preached in probably 90-some% of the churches today. All right? Now, from the mighty God unveiled, look, the old badger skin that we find out behind it was inside of there was the word. And the word, there was also the showbread. The ark was sprinkled, and what was it? The Shekinah glory was in there. Now, the word is the seed, and it cannot bring forth until the sun strikes it. The sun's got to be upon the seed to make it bear, to make it come forth. And that's the only way that you take the word. See, take the word of God into your heart and walk in the Shekinah glory. And when you do, it'll bring showbread manna that's only give for a separated people. The only thing that we can eat is that's permitted to eat it is just the people who are permitted. So if there are a people that are permitted, I hope that we are amongst that permitted group. Because, in Matthew 13, it says, he that echoes more shall be given, but he that echoes not, it'll be taken, what he thought he was echoing. So there's a lot of people thinking they're echoing the word, but they're not, okay? But here he's talking about the word in a person that is filled with his spirit, and that word has to manifest what it is. And it can only do this with someone who is filled with his spirit. It will not do it to anyone else. You can share these things that we speak about with other people, and it's just like, what? What did you say? They have no comprehension. They have no understanding of what the word of God is, okay? 1 Corinthians 2 says, no man without the baptism of the Holy Ghost can understand the things of God. That's his seed. And therefore, the seed will remain seed within him. But that same seed will manifest in him that has a baptism of the Holy Ghost, for God only reveals it to him. That is what the word says in 2 Corinthians 2:14. It says, the natural man, which is the unregenerate man, or that is the man without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he cannot understand the things of God. They are foolishness unto him. So that's why when you try to share this message with an unbeliever, they have no clue what you're talking about. You might as well be talking about blue light bulbs. I remember in college, a guy came in with his blue light bulbs. He was on amphetamines or something. But anyway, but you're crazy to them and they're crazy to you, okay? That's what I'm saying. And now, what are the things of God, okay? Because it says no man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him. So what are the things of God? It is his word. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if in the beginning was the word, then what was before the word? Because that word, which is spoken, it had to be in the heart of someone, and that heart was God's heart. See, and you were in God's heart, all right? Now, that is what William Branham said in his sermon, The Trial. A grain of seed laying on his desk, on this desk, he points to his desk, will never grow a harvest. In other words, you can put a pile of grain up here and next year we'll come back and they're still there. All right? It'll never grow. A grain of corn has got to fall into the ground that's been fertilized for that grain of corn or it will not grow. And God said that his word is a seed that a sower sowed. And it must fall in the right kind of soil. That soil is faith. It's a seed, and it must fall into this ground or it cannot be quickened. And in other words, the Holy Spirit defense witness here says that he cannot even come to it until it falls in the right kind of soil. He is the quickener of it, all right? So, and faith is a revelation, and a revelation comes only from God to someone who is Spirit-filled. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, it says, but God has revealed it unto us. Who revealed it? God revealed it unto us by His Spirit. By His Spirit. His Spirit coming to you, or His Spirit in you? Now remember, you know, we've got people that, I won't say their names, but you know, they were from a certain city, and they had a big church, and the preacher, you know, he had three tumblers. And they used kind of a internet, kind of a, what do you call the thing you're into? Graphics, right? They used computer graphics to show a light in the first bottle or the first, you know, jug of water, okay? Then all that was in the Father was poured into the Son. That's what he says, and he's quoting Brother Brown. Then that light goes from the Father to the Son, and now you don't have the Father anymore. You can take the Father away, and you just have the Son left and the church. Then all that is in the Son is poured in the church, and he takes the light out of the Son. There's no longer life in the Son. It's now in the church. That's hogwash. Anybody in their right mind would know that when you speak of the Spirit, you're speaking of the nature or the life. Zoe. Brother Bram called it Zoe. And if you don't have Zoe, you don't have Spirit. Well, God doesn't diminish and go away when he puts all of it into his Son. And the Son doesn't go away and diminish when he puts it into his children. David had 500 children. Do you think David now became a midget walking around and waiting to have another 500 so he could become a mouse? David got bigger. His head got bigger. And naturally, as an older man, he got bigger. So, you know, they don't even understand biology. That's why this world is so messed up, because the scientists today are thinking that there's 72 transgenders. They don't even understand biology, eighth grade biology. It's become insane. Just look at the videos on YouTube. You see all these children, they're actually 20-some years old, 22 years old, and they get arrested, and they're screaming like a little child throwing a tantrum. You know, like a little child that's 3 years old. Well, that child at 20, they should have been spanked real good when they were little, and they would have been. You know, Wesley's mother said, you train them up by the age of 3, you break them at 6, and you bend them at 6, and you break them by 9. So if you don't do it by 3, forget it. You're going to have a struggle. But if you do it everything right by 3, you should be okay. All right? Now, Brother Branham said from his sermon, the trial, and again he calls this attention to the word of promise that's in question. He never said any certain time for these things to happen. See how they can misread the word to you. Now, these guys that say, let me see this happen, you see, they don't even read the word right. That is, if the man is a true believer, he still never set any time limit. He also wants the court to remember that this word is written, and Jesus Christ, the word manifest, said the word is a seed that a sower sowed. And the seed can only produce itself produce its promise. In other words, if it's a word seed, it's going to produce word. All right. If it's a wheat seed, it's going to produce wheat. If it's a pumpkin seed, is going to produce pumpkins. Okay, you don't plant a pumpkin seed expecting wheat. You don't plant a watermelon seed expecting a baby. You know, like the old joke is, you know, she must have swallowed a watermelon or something. But you can't do that. All right. So the word is a seed that a sower sowed, and the seed can only produce itself its promise if it's the right kind of ground that it will quicken the seed. Amen. Kind of changing the case, aren't we? It's got to be the right place. All right. So he's just telling you the laws of reproduction. Whatever you sow, it's got to be reaped. Then there's a place for that, and that place has got to be ready to receive the seed, okay? And that is what the right kind of place. It has to, what is the right kind of place? It has to be in the right ground in the right season. God will interpret his own word by bringing it to pass, and the bride stands still until God reveals it to her, and that's all. In other words, we know that we are to manifest as sons of God in this hour. So you don't bring it on and try to do it yourself. It's, you just say, okay, God, I received your seed, now you do it. All right? It says that we are at the age where the adoption of sons is to take place, the placing of sons. We don't try to produce that ourselves because we get in a lot of trouble. No, we sit back and we say, okay, God, I receive your seed. Now it's up to you to bring it on. Okay? So from his sermon, the trial, a trial. Now we find out what this defense witness wants to call to the attention, that the word is a seed that a sower sowed. Now, you ask me, well, you know, I've read several quotes here of the word is a seed. Well, listen, I got 68 that, you know, I just took 68 quotes of Brother Branham showing the word is a seed and showing what he means by that. So, you know, you bear with me in this sermon, the next sermon, and actually two more, and you'll see that we're going to cover all of the scriptures, where all the quotes where Brother Branham talks about the word seed, and he talks about the different variations, like how it takes light, how it takes water, how it takes the right ground, how it takes the timing, you know, all these things. Like, you don't plant winter wheat in the summer because it won't germinate. You plant in the winter, it then in the under the snow and stuff, it breaks down and it forms its little roots in the ground and comes up in the spring, and then in the summertime you harvest. Well, regular wheat you can't do that with. All right, if you planted a regular wheat in the winter time or in the fall, actually, it would die in the ground. It's not ready for it. It's not programmed to receive it. Well, you people, the reason why you are seed, each one of you is a seed that was in God's mind. Do you know that? And the reason why you're here this day and not in Luther's day is because you were ordained to the right season. There's got to be a season for each seed, you see? Okay. So from a trial, he says, and we find this defense witness wants to call his attention to this, that the word is a seed that sower sowed. It's written in the scripture, and the word is a seed, and the seed must fall. And the scripture says, some did fall on stony ground, and the birds of the air taken it away. Some fell just long enough to get enough roots to spring up, and the thorns and thistles choked it out. But some did go into good ground, and it brought forth 100-fold. Now, how many know people in this message that fell away? We all do. What happened? The seed was sown on thorny ground, and something just took them out. Like Brother Vail said, there's something ordained to take you out. You're either going to be, you know, you're either ordained to the end, or you're going to be taken out. All right. So he wants to call your attention to that, and he wants to say that if this word, if this Holy Ghost meeting where people were having hands laid on, it only applies to believers. All right? There's no promise in here but eternal separation from God to unbelievers. Now, he's talking about this. There is no promise for them that are unbelievers except for eternal separation. That's the one promise for them. And, of course, all the curses that go with it. But for you, there's many promises involved. There's over 800. I gave you out that book years ago. It's only two believers. Someone said to me not long ago, said, I don't care, said, certainly not. It's not for unbelievers. It's for believers, they that believe. You see, the parousia is not for the unbeliever. It is for the believer. Understanding the Godhead correctly is not for the unbeliever. It's for the believer. Now, they might have part of it right, but not all of it right. Just like the people... They might say there is a parousia, but they know nothing about it. They know not the 86 things that God has done, because you know what? It's just a doctrine to them, and they'll fall away from that as well. I've seen many of people. I've seen people that were in the message 50 years, and they fell away from the parousia, and yet they loved it under Brother Vail, but they fell away after he left. So you see, if it takes someone like Brother Vail, a strong personality to keep you in the message, and I'm sorry, you're not God's. All right, you never were. But if you're just a church person, but if it takes, it should only take, look, It's an individual walk, all right? It's you and God alone, not even your wife. It's you and God alone, and if she happens to be a believer, it's you and God alone, and then her and God alone. It's not you and you influencing your wife, and then God. No, it's you and God alone, period, all right? Now, therefore, as it stated this morning in the sermon, that the seed which is the word of God can only be understood by the believer who is filled with his spirit and no one else. Everybody that does not have the Holy Ghost is just a churchgoer. That's it. Churchgoer. They love music. They love to worship. All these things. But so did the devil. All right? So don't make yourself spiritual and happy and I'm a believer because I like to worship. So did the devil. So he was a believer in one God. Yeah, so are all the Muslims, so are the Jews, so are the Pentecostals, believer in one God, and he perishes. He's going to perish. So Brother Branham said in his sermon, the trial, again, he wants to call the attention of this court to the word of promise that's in question. Now notice he said the word of promise. He never set any time for them to recover. He said, thy prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise them up. He didn't say that when or then they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He never said a day, a month, or a year. He just said they shall. So hold on to that seed. Don't let it out of your grasp. You know, it's in you. And in its due time, God will raise it up. All right? The defense witness wants you to know that he didn't say there'd be a miracle performed. He just said they shall recover. Interpret the word right. They shall recover. He never set any certain time. And that is, if they are believers, it shall recover. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whether it's now, a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, they will recover. He said so. That is, if they shall hold on to their believing. Now, that's the defense witness. Another thing, the defense witness wants to call to this attention this afternoon, that also the word is a seed. And the word has to fall in fertile soil in order to quicken it. Remember, they planted seeds, they planted the seeds, which is the wheat, in the garners of Egypt well over 4,000 years ago. And in the 1950s or 60s, they dug up one of the garners and they found the seed and they planted it and it came to life. It had sat for 4,000 years before it came to life. Wow. Why? Because that's the seed of God. That's the word of God. God planted those seeds, okay? The seed has to have fertility and the word has to fall in faith, which is a fertility that brings the word to faith. I just think that's such a wonderful thing. Those seeds were 4,000 years setting in a dry garner, and they were brought out, and they planted them, and they came to life. It just shows that that seed, that life was in there, okay? Again, he says here that the seed is depending on falling into right soil, which is faith, which is a revelation. And since God only reveals his word to those who have his spirit, then the word can only become a manifested word to someone born of his spirit. Now, listen, there's a quote, I read it, I couldn't find it last night, but I read it in the Unveiling of God, where Brother Branham said, we read the same Bible they read. He said, Daniel read the same Bible that Pharaoh read, you know, that all the priests read and everything else. Martin Luther read the same Bible that the church, Catholic Church read. Wesley read the same Bible that Luther read. But there was something there in that season for them, each. And they gleaned on to that, and God manifested that portion of the word for them in that hour. All right, so he says, and that person will wait on God's timing to manifest his word. And once he has done that, then it is interpreted, because God only interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So when you see the manifestation of things that God said in his word, the seed that he said in his word, you are seeing the interpretation. You have the perfect interpretation of God's word in this hour. It's really wonderful. Now, from his sermon, then Jesus came and called. Brother Bam said, and it's our business to send the word, and it's our and to preach the word. So all those that just listen to tapes, I'm sorry, but he said to preach the word, and it's a seed. And when that seed goes to growing, it'll produce just exactly what it is, the promise is. So as long as it's in the ground, it's still a seed. But once it starts coming up, pops its little head up out of the ground, it's in manifestation. Now, it hasn't completely manifested yet, but it is beginning to manifest. Okay, now, notice he said, when the seed goes to growing, and that is the key, when it is manifested. But the problem is that they see the seed, that they can't, but they can't see it manifested. Brother Bam said they read the same Bible we do. The Baptists read the same Bible you read. The Pentecostals read the same Bible you read. Many Pentecostal churches that call themselves message believers are reading the seed, but they're not seeing the manifestation of the seed. They don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. And that might be a strong word, but listen, only a certain people can see the manifestation of the word, and I thank God that we can. Okay? Now, from God hiding in simplicity, what's more simple than a seed? Man is always giving God praise for what he did do. That's the people in the message. I'm not just saying the people in the message, that's the Baptists also. That's the Pentecostal also. That's anybody that's looking backwards at Calvary. And now seeing that Calvary, the blood, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, which means that if you can see that pillar of fire and you're walking with it, he's in the pillar of fire, he's in the light. Then you have fellowship one with another, and the blood cleanses you from all sin. Now, I know there's cults in this message. There's more cults in this message than there is in the Pentecostals, and that there is in the Catholic Church. They're all pretty much uniform. But, you know, you've got people who, 1963, there's no more blood. Since when did he say that? You know, there's no more salvation after 63. Well, how many of you were born after 63? Let's raise your hands, okay? There's a lot of you born after 63. All right? So those are just hogwash. As long as you're walking in the light, there's blood. But there's churches that believe that. One church, you know, they sent me a letter one time, and they said, we've returned all of Brother Branham's material to Voice of God because we have now become the Word. And I said, what? Listen, are you stupid? I mean, are you insane? I won't say retarded because that's a bad word. But are you insane? You know, the people today do things that are completely insane. And then they wonder, you know, like Einstein says, you can do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I just can't understand. You see, that's insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a new result. And they come to church, they sit in the pew. In the Catholic Church, it's a genuflection, and then you go in the pew. And in the Baptist, you know, they go in the pew, and the Pentecostals, they go in the pew. In the message, they're coming in the pew, and they're walking out the same person. They are dead, pure dead. Or they're just insane. They can do the same thing week in, week out, come to church, and never change. All right? That's insanity, brother, sister. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Bram said, it's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. Do you see the difference? That little seed in the ground, yeah, you know what? We can look in our Bible and we see Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. And Romans 8 says many, many things. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter of God. But we'll find, you know, it says the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, what is that? See, it's a seed to them. They have no understanding. But you understand because you're manifesting. You're showing yourself that you are a son. How did Jesus manifest as a son? It says that though he were a son, that's who he was obedient to all things. He showed his obedience. He showed his sonship by being obedient to the word of God. There's your manifestation. You're obedient. the word says, you know, don't cut your hair and you know, don't wear shorts and things like that. You just don't do it. You know, God's taking those things out of your heart. He's placed his word in your heart. You see? All right. So to us, it's a manifestation. See, it's no more a word. It's become a reality. It's a reality. I'm living in the word. All right, from trying to do God a service, he said, now, he reveals his word only in a season. Martin Luther read the same Bible we read. Wesley read the same Bible Martin Luther read. Pentecostals read the same Bible as we read. Jesus read the same Bible that the Pharisees read. But they trying to keep the corn in the early stage when it was ripening. They failed to see their hour. How David has done the same thing here. God reveals his word in season, and to whom he reveals it, he reveals it to. God chooses who he reveals it to. He chose that before the foundation of the world, all of his doings were foreknown by him, hidden from man. He just reveals them as he will. It is his chosen season, his chosen person, and he never did choose a party or sect. He's chosen a person. How he does it. Now, I'd just like to say, I can go out right now and say, oh, you know what? I got big beans on the vine. The vines are all growing. It's so high. It looks good. And if I don't understand the principles behind harvest time, I'll say, well, you know what? The beans are all there. Let's go out and get them. And you know what? They got to sit in a garner that takes the water out of them, and you can't sell them until they are a certain water level. They got to be 85% dry. I mean, if they're not 85% dried out, then they're not ready for harvest. If they're over 85%, then any time you can do it. But the thing is, if you do it beforehand, you got a spoiled crop because it'll rot right in the garner unless you put it into a hopper and pay all kinds of money to have it dried out. All right, so you know there's a timing involved with the seed. It might look like it's ready, but it's simply not ready yet. All right, all the greenness has to be baked out. Okay, now, did I read from a court trial? Okay, again, calling attention now, the prosecutor misquoted the word, and that's what's happening everywhere. And God never said that they would jump up right quick as soon as they had hands laid on them. But he said that they that believe would recover. That is, if they believe. It's only to believers. And again, the defense witness wants to call the attention of the court this afternoon that God said in his word was a seed. The word is a seed that the sower sowed. If that seed falls in the right kind of ground, that it's got enough fertility in it to make this seed spring to life quick and it'll live. Now, you know, I was talking about, he says it's only to the believer, but you have to wait. Now see, we have seen 82 of the 86 events that Jesus said would take place in the parousia. Those are ready for a harvest, but they're waiting on the 82nd, which is the resurrection, which is this seed to be harvested. So, you know, when I'm ready to plant, I mean, when I'm ready for harvest, then the farmer will go out for me and he will take three samplings, justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. And if they are all ready at the same water level, 85% or greater, the whole thing then is ready for harvest. So, We have 82 of the 86 events, but the next one is the most important. That's the resurrection. So we're waiting on that. Then we know at the resurrection, boom, it's all done. Then you got the body change, you got the catching away, and you got the destruction of the earth, and that'll take a little bit longer. Like the farmer comes through and does it, you know, he tills it up, and now today's equipment. See, in the old time, you would go out there by hand and pluck all those, all those corns. And Levon, remember, as a kid, you were shucking all those corns. And that's how you did it. You just went out there and you shucked them. And some, like her brothers, you know, they could straddle one row and shuck from this row and shuck from this row. So they were pretty good. They were like a three-tilled tiller, you know. But now they've got these machines that are 60 feet wide, and they just do it all at once. And then they leave the ground bare. And it's what? Ready for burning, okay? And then they burn it off, and it's ready to go for the next season. It's got nitrogen in it. So anyway, Matthew 13:11 says, He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you, so it's not given to them, it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Well, that word is just not given to them, okay? For so, whosoever hath, that word is echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. Why? Because an echo is once, twice, three times, maybe four, maybe five, might go on indefinitely depending on the situation. But whosoever hath not, whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing. People quote the word, they think they're echoing, but they're just quoting doctrine. You know, therefore speak I to them in parables. See, it's taken away from those that don't echo. You notice, the people in this message that left the message. I know many ministers, I know two over in Africa. I know one up here in Lima and one down in North Carolina and some others. So I know that they were great quoters of the message. They called it echoing, but they didn't echo. They could quote it, okay? But to them shall be, them that think they're echoing, it shall be taken from them. They don't even quote the message anymore. They don't even believe the message anymore. There's nothing there for them to quote. So you see how accurate the scriptures are. Okay, God's just taken from them. They don't believe the message. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. You know, I did a series on the parables of Christ a number of years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago. And it was about 37 or 40 different parables that Jesus spoke. And I showed how every one of those parables is for this hour. Brother Bram said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. So I showed like the man casting a net. How could one man cast a net into all the world and bring out fishes and stuff like that? But he also brings out, you know, serpents and everything else, tadpoles and whatever. Is because you have the internet today and one man can do it. You know, our ministry has gone into 196 countries. You know, so I know that parable is for today, all right? So therefore speak I to them in parables. And what is a parable? All right, it's an illustration. Now, an illustration you can take two ways. So an illustration can be very dangerous. It can nail down if you have the right understanding, and it can cause you to be really confused if you don't, all right? So seeing that, it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So they're hearing, they're really not understanding the words they're hearing. You know, you speak to a baby, they can't speak English yet. Can you really understand their words yet? Christian, can you? When they're a little bit baby, maybe they can say daddy, that's one word you might understand, but then goo goo gaga and everything else, you know, you don't understand them, all right? I could have Brother Sam stand up and speak Norwegian and say a few words and you wouldn't have a clue. You wouldn't have a clue. So, you know, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Look at the 2 million people that followed Moses under the pillar of fire, and they perished in the wilderness, except for two of them. They understood the things of God, but they didn't understand. Are they not the things of God? They saw the things of God. David said in Psalm 110, the people saw the acts of God, but Moses understood the ways of God. Now there's a big difference between understanding the ways, which is his reasoning for doing those things, and the people just seeing the thing done. So they could see him, but they didn't understand what he's doing. Just like the people with Paul. You know, Paul heard the voice, but they didn't hear the voice, but they saw the light, but they didn't know what was going on. It was a mystery to them, all right? So that's the same way with this message. There's 2 million people that are following this message, and how many of them really understand the ways or the things of this message? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, saying, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. All right? Now, that's why they can take a vindicated prophet with a discernment and call it, he's got a familiar spirit after they leave the message. Oh, he just has a familiar spirit. Well, you just blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And you don't even know it. You know? Now, let me emphasize that it is only for believers filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They are the only ones it is given for, and God must reveal it to them by his Spirit. But he says that they will misquote it because it's not given to them to know. So that's why you got Seven Thunders doctrine. Brother Bram says simply that he said the Seven Thunders was the opening of the seals. Every time the seal opened, there was a thunder, okay? It was a ripping sound. It was a thunder, and it revealed the seal. But now you got a whole bunch of people that believe in the Seven Thunders, and they go around, oh, this brother is going to be one of the men to reveal the thunders, and this man over here, and there's going to be seven men that will reveal seven thunders. And Brother Bram says it's never a group, it's an individual. So they're lost to begin with, okay? Now, I'm not speaking of them being lost as being, as I'm going to bomb them or I'm upset with them. You know, I'm just thankful that I do understand the word. What they do is their business, but it's wrong and it's bringing a reproach against the word. Just like the men who believe in two souls, there's one soul, the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and if that soul shall repent, it shall live. There's one soul, but it has a germ in it, whether of God or it doesn't have a germ in it. Okay? Again, from his sermon, trial. Now, this is a defense witness, the Holy Ghost. He said the promise is only to believers, not make believers and skeptics and unbelievers. The promise is only to believers, not to others. Now, this is a defense witness. And the defense witness should know because it is the one that quickens it to them. He knows whether it's true or not. And he also wants to call the attention here, being the quickener of the word. He also calls the attention of the words is a seed. And if the seed falls into the right fertile ground, it'll produce exactly what God said that it would do. But if it's not fell into the right kind of ground, so there's not soil enough, faith enough to make the seed grow, I think as the one who quickens the seed, he ought to know, don't you think? How many believe that? Say amen. He should be the one who knows. He's the real defense witness. All right. So he said that no man by the spirit of man will know, will understand, but God reveals it to them who are born of God's spirit, and God knows who said, God said he knows who ought to know. In other words, you were in his mind before the foundation of the world to be come to the adoption. Jesus was in the same mind at the same time. The lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And the reason he was slain is so that you could be adopted. And then God could make him joint heirs. You see, it all works together. Now, from Jehovah Jireh, he said, I have a few scriptures and notes, or two, wrote down here that I'd like to leave with you. Now, just before we do, let's pray just a moment to the Father. Father, we pray that you will take thy word. Thy word is truth. And the Bible said, Jesus speaking, said, thy word is a seed that the sower sowed. Now, we realize that if it is a seed, it is a good seed, it is a germatized. And if that seed has been carried out, his plan, that in God's will, then it leaves a germatized seed. And when Jesus was on earth, he was a vine, and the seed that he sowed was his word. And we know that it's germatized by his own life. However, along came after Jesus a man dressed in black. And he sowed a different seed. What was that? Unbelief in the word. And so you're either a good seed, a child of God, or you're of the devil. All right? There's no two places to put you. All right. And he said from his sermon, God's provided a way Eve tried to hybrid the word. In the beginning, God told her, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. She tried to breed it with knowledge that Satan gave her. And when she did, she lost the whole human race right down to the devil when she tried to mix God's unadulterated word with knowledge. It doesn't come from the knowledge of the world. It comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how God does it. God's word is a seed of eternal life. If you try to hybrid it, what will you do? You will kill yourself with it. It will not work. It will not mix. No more than oil or whatever mixed. It will not do it. Okay? So then he says from his sermon, we have seen a star. He said, did you notice it had just at this time when this murderous king Herod, nothing but a murderer, killed all those children. Now what is Joe Biden? He's nothing but a murderer, and he has killed not only the older people in the retirement homes, but he's also tried to kill the government employees, the medical employees, the soldiers, and now he wants to kill the babies. Now, you know, he entered into politics with a viewpoint of abortion. That's killing preborns. So he's a murderer of the babies by, let's get the babies, we'll kill them in the womb. But if we can't get them in the womb, we'll kill them with mRNA when they are injected. And now we'll have no people, no race, no nothing. And so then we can bring in whoever we want to do our dirty work for us, and we'll become the big shots, okay? He's a murderer, just like Herod was. Don't you realize you're in Bible times? Don't you realize that this is the fulfillment of the Word of God? All right. Killed all those little children that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And hasn't it been fulfilled that there would be germ warfare in this hour? And where is the germ warfare? It started with their chem warfare out of Wuhan. And it's proceeded into this country and every nation under earth. It's germ warfare. And they have to message people, oh, let's just get the jab, let's get the jab. And now they're prying out. Listen, they wore badges on them. I proudly got the germ warfare. No, it doesn't say that. I proudly got the jab. What's the jab? It's germ warfare. Brother Branham warned us about it. Stay away from that stuff. Oh, but Brother Branham got a yellow fever shot. Well, he had to have it, but it was an actual vaccine. It wasn't this thing that they have today is not a vaccine. It's a human 2.0 to reset you as transhumans. All right? You are no longer a human. You are no longer a son of God. You are just a transhuman nothingness. You are, Brother Bram called him cannon fodder. Do you think it's bad for me to say cannon fodder? He said it. He said they're cannon fodder. And they willingly do it. You see, it's not the man that sins and, you know, lives in sin and doesn't know it. It's the man that willfully sins. And they say, well, you know, render to Caesar, but it also says render to God what's God's. Are you Caesar's or are you God's? I am God's and I will render to God. All right, now see, we no longer use YouTube, so I can say what I want to say. Okay. So from... we have seen to start in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, and they're not, and they were not. See, there had to be a murderous king to fulfill that prophecy. There had to be a murderous president to fulfill the prophecy. There had to be murderous dictators around the world to fulfill the prophecy. That was spoken many hundreds of years beforehand. But when God speaks a word by his prophet, it has to come to pass if it's God's word. No matter how long it lingers, it still come to pass because it's seed. It's a seed. Jesus said that the word of God is a seed that the sower sows. So it must bear its fruit in its season. And now this murderous king had to be at the time to kill those children. So Biden had to be in office to kill the children. All right, so we see that every season there is a seed for that season. You have to plant winter wheat in the fall, like I said. You have to plant soybeans by the end of May, or it may be harvested in late, in other words, to be harvested in late fall. If you don't, if you wait till like late June or early July, you don't get no, you won't get no, you know, no growth. You might get a little bit, but and then it just dies on the vine. You see? So in Garner Peake's funeral, Brother Brown said, "Grant it, Lord, that we might see that this afternoon by the simplicity of using examples of nature and then placing it back to the Word of God through a promise." And you said the Word of God is a seed, and a seed must bring forth of its kind. That's Genesis 1:11. One of the very first principles that God spoke was, let every seed bring forth after its kind. And from and so what is mRNA? It's not even a seed. You know, it's a concoction of man. It's not going to bring forth anything except for a concoction of man, which is a transhuman. All right, from the world's falling apart, what had this cause? I believe there was a cause for that. And I think it is because they had took the Word of God and made it of no effect by their traditions. Jesus said so. He said, you by your traditions, what's that? Coming to church and genuflecting and going in the pew. That's a tradition. What is a tradition? Dancing around the church to music, you know, for 3 hours and only having a little bitty sermon. That's traditions. That's Pentecostal traditions. See, these people came in the message, but they kept their Pentecostal traditions. And so they put the word out and they substitute, well, we don't have enough time. We got enough time to preach and dance for 3.5 hours, but we don't have enough time to hear the word. So maybe give them 15 minutes and let's get out of here. All right? By your traditions has made the Word of God of no effect. That's right. It wasn't effective because it added and projected into their traditions. And you can't add nothing to it. You can't take nothing from it. That's just the way it is. That's the way God preserved it. We can't add creeds and dogmas and things to inject in that. That don't need any help. That's Him. That's Him in letter form. And the Word is a seed. And the seed in the right kind of ground will grow if you don't dig it up every morning to find out whether it's grown or not. You just plant it, commit it to God, and leave it there. Are we willing to do that this morning? All right. That's the way to let it grow. Just leave it the way it's in the ground. And that's where it's supposed to be, the ground of your heart. Faith is watering it hourly, saying, now it's God. God said so. It's mine. That's the way to do it. You see, as long as it's in here, it's God's. But as long as it's in here, it's mine. This one thing they'll never take from us. They can throw you into a FEMA camp and everything else, but it won't do any good. Now look. To say God's word and only His word, you have a good description of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But all you have to do is add to His description or take away from His description, and you have changed their description of who and what God is. You are preaching another Jesus, like the Trinitarians making Him into chopping Him into three pieces. He is not three pieces. He is not three glasses. And then we do away with the first, do away with the Son. Now we got the God in you. They're preaching. Listen, that's one of the other false doctrines. They're preaching that you are God. Do you know that? She is Him. They're preaching that. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Now they don't understand what Brother Branham meant by that. In other words, you are the Word, but He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Now God entered into His Son, the same God life, the same Word, the same Logos, entered into His Son, and now all that was in the Son He poured into the church. It's the same Word. It's not we are like God, you do away with God, do away with Jesus, and now God is in us. That's hogwash. That's like Catholic Church says, well, we are the church. I was talking to my sister, and forgive me if she hears this, but I don't think she will. But you were talking about my dad's conversion, and I talked to my dad the night before he died. And I said, Dad, I said, do you believe Jesus, if he died for nobody else, he died for you? He said, absolutely. I said, I'm glad to hear that. I said, now, if you had to choose between the church and Jesus Christ, who would you choose? And he said, well, that's not even a question. He said, Jesus Christ, of course. And so then my sister said, oh, no, stop, 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 stop. No, Jesus is Christ. And I said, give me a break. I said, the church is not Jesus Christ. Excuse me. She said, the church is Christ. And I said, give me a break. I said, the church is nothing but a political institution made in 325 AD. Look up your history, sister. She knows this pope is bad. She knows he's antichrist. Which of them weren't? Antichrist. Anti-word. They're all anti-word, and so are the people following blindly because of traditions and creeds. All right? Now, that's enough on that subject. So from the token, Brother Bram said, when anything sealed inside of a seal, you better not break it. Can't break it. Not God's seal. No. For you grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption when the body is raised up. It's a seed, a sign that the seed has been germinized with eternal life, Zoe. My own life, and I'll raise it up again at the last day. And as you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you. I hope you do. And you are in him. By one spirit, we are all baptized into one body and sealed there by the Holy Ghost among the believers like this until the day that Jesus raises us up. And from investments. He said, I had an interview with a priest not long ago. He said, Mr. Branham, you're trying to talk about the Bible. This is the church. Said, God's word, God is in the church. And I said, show me where the Bible said that God is in the word. The Bible said that God is in the word. He is the word. And if the word is in you, it'll produce God again. And he said, the word is the seed. And the seed produced what its kind is. It'll produce a godly life, a full consecrated life to Jesus Christ. All right. And in closing, now notice, as I said, you are the sum of all your thoughts. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak, exactly like God did. But if you change even one word, you change the description. And thus you end up with another person. So if you change one word, you have a different God. And now you've gone off in a different direction. Stay with the word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Forgive me, Father, if I've been too hot under the collar. Maybe it's because it's 90-some degrees outside. I guess that's my excuse. But, Lord, no, it's just, Lord, I love your word. And I hate to see people take and dismantle it and then call it your word. That's like taking someone else's face and putting it on my body and saying, this is Brian. It just doesn't work that way. I am every part of me. I am. I am what I am. And so, you know, you are what you are. You said to Moses, I am what I am. And so we just want to take all of your word and say everything that you had to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.